Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Welcome to Fathers of the Grind. This is a podcast by a couple of dads. No, we are not the cohabitation married to each other dads. I feel like that's sometimes a mistake that I make when I describe us. Hey, we're a couple of dads. We just like video games. Like, no, we are both married to women.
Oh, I never caught that.
Yeah, that's I picked awesome. Up on that when I was re-listening, when I was editing the show a few episodes back, and I meant to clarify that for any listeners who don't know us personally. Like, oh, these guys are great. They're a real progressive couple with kids, and they play games together. Like, no, we're not. No, okay, we're not going to go down that road, but that's not who we are. All right, my name is Tim Nestor, and I am your host of Fathers of the Grind, but the better host, the real host, the host who you guys should all get to know and love is Derek Teague. Hello, Derek.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here. This is the first time I've ever done a podcast, so I'm a little nervous, but it's an honor to be here and replace D-Rec.
Yeah, you're going to do great. You can't make any mistakes making a podcast. That's one thing you'll learn. You can't make any mistakes. You're going to be fine.
No, I'll be all right. You know, I study everything Derek does, so I think I can fill his shoes.
You're his understudy?
Yeah.
All right, so before we get into our conversation about video games and other things, I do want to just take a quick second to acknowledge and offer, you know, my prayers. And for those of you who don't pray, I'm sure you offer your thoughts and your, as some people say, good vibes to those who have lost family this past week. It's been a very scary, violent week in our country, so I at least want to acknowledge it with the shooting of the young men this past week by police officers in situations that are... I can't think of many other words to describe it other than confusing, and we don't have all the facts, and it's just sad. It's just very sad that this keeps happening. And then, of course, with the tragedy in Dallas where police officers were killed. So it's just sad all around, no matter where you stand on the entire issue or what your opinions are. It's just very sad. And so just wanted to take a moment and say I'm offering my prayers up, I know, for the families there. And for those of you listening, if you're in our group, even if you're not in our Facebook group, just here's my piece of advice to you. Just don't be racist and don't kill people.
That's solid advice.
I think that's pretty fair. Yeah. Don't be racist. Don't kill people. So go write that down. Put it on a post-it note on your mirror.
I'll take one step further. Just be nice to everybody. That's it. Like, I know, like, a lot of people say... Derek's an a-hole, but anybody who gets to know me, I'm really not. Just be nice to people, and you won't have to worry about being a racist or a murderer, because you're too busy being nice to people.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. Coming from someone who, when I first met him, the first comment I saw on any post is basically telling me to leave. But yeah, I appreciate you saying that.
Did I really do that?
It was a joke, but I didn't know you. Oh. So like, it was just the way that you kind of said, hey, welcome, now leave.
Oh. See, you know what's funny is, and we won't, like, draw this out forever, but I've had several people, I'm not going to mention their names, that I've become friends with on Facebook through our, you know, little gaming groups and stuff like that, and they'll be like, hey, like, just randomly we'll have a conversation, they'll be like, hey, I didn't like you at first. I'm like, well, that doesn't surprise me, but they'll be like, but it was because you were rude to me. Like, I thought you hated me and you're a jerk, and I'm like, what? What did I say? What did I do? And they never... They never can remember or something. All they can remember is that I was an ass the first time I ever spoke to them. So I'm very proud of that.
The good news is you left an impression.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's my goal. Like and I tell this to all the women that work underneath me. Yes, that's not a sexual joke. But all the women that work underneath me, I tell them, you know, I'm a jerk in the beginning just so your expectations are so low that I can, you know, just do like small little things and they think it's the most amazing thing ever. So that's kind of my strategy for life. Be a jerk in the beginning and then I only have to do the bare minimum to impress you.
So you guys are getting a lot of good advice today. Don't be racist. Don't kill people. Be nice. And if you want to take Derek's advice, be a jerk at the beginning and then ease off and people will come around to really like you.
Yeah.
I like that. That's not bad. It's almost like Stockholm Syndrome with a kidnapper. That's your relationship with Derek. Yeah.
I think if John Martin's listening, he's probably like, would be shaking his head like, that's exactly what that a-hole did to me. Yep, that's exactly what I do.
Oh, boy. All right, listen, I want to give one quick shout-out. I just saw this posted in our group right as we started recording. This is from our buddy Jesse White. He says, even though Derek Teague won't see this, and by the way, Derek's taken a brief hiatus from Facebook and some social media, and I don't blame you. It's been a crazy time. We won't talk about that right now.
Yeah.
But Jesse says, even though Derek won't see this, let it be known that I beat him in FIFA 16 and won the title. Hashtag champ, hashtag MVP.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, this is
let's give a round of applause for Jesse. That's that's impressive stuff.
We're not giving him a round of applause. There's no standing ovations. Yeah, it was very frustrating because although I play FIFA games, I haven't played them in a while. Like it's usually my son that's been on FIFA 16, but I saw Jesse was on and my son had abandoned the Xbox, so I was like, oh, I'll play FIFA 16 with Jesse. So I invited him. He didn't show up, so I was like, okay, he doesn't want to play. And then I get an invite from him, so I joined his game. I guess we did a season. I didn't know. We were doing a versus season, and it's only...
It's a big commitment.
It's only 5 matches, I think it was. Okay. And so the first match, I won 1-0. And I'm like, okay.
Congrats.
And I was playing legit soccer, a lot of passing. I wasn't trying to cheese the game or anything like that. And I was like, okay, this... I think I can beat him in all the matches we play. So I play the next one, we tie. 0-0. I started getting frustrated there because I'm like, okay, 2 matches and I've only scored 1 goal. Give me a break. And by the way, we were playing with good teams. We kept switching our teams every time, but none of us ever picked a bad team.
Can I just ask real quick, when you tie in a game, do you just kind of like grumble to yourself like a tie is the same as a loss? Like,
pretty,
is that the attitude?
Pretty much. If you're not first, you're the worst.
Then you're lost. Right, got it.
Yeah. So we tied the second match, and then in the third match, I think, and I'm going by memory here, I think I had a lot of chances. Like, I dominated the game, yet he won 1-0. And so I was really pissed. That's where the curse words started coming out. I was getting really mad. And I actually get worse at games when I get mad. So we played again, and I lost, I think, 1-0. I think every time he beat me, it was 1-0. I was not scoring any goals. The first 4 games, I had 1 goal total. And if you'd watched the matches, I was striking the ball left and right, but they were all going right at the goalie. I was playing pretty good soccer, but no goals. And then finally in the 5th game, our final match, this one I can remember more, it's fresh. I picked Argentina, he picked England. We played an international friendly, and I scored like in the first 5-10 minutes, and it was with ease. Like a nice, beautiful goal by Di Maria, and I was like, "Ah, oh, I got this. I have the better team. I'm up 1-0. I'll win." He floats this. I want to cuss right now. He floats this ball over and gets a header off the post, which ricochets off my goalie and goes in.
Well, that's your fault then.
No, mad. That's the game. So I get mad, and it's like 1-1. Then, like, 5 minutes later, he scores on another header. Like, he just floats the ball in and, like, heads it in. And I'm like, is anybody covering these guys? So it's 2-1. Now I'm getting nervous. I'm like, are you serious? I'm going to lose again? So finally, I decided, all right, I'll do a little bit of cheese mode. Meaning, Argentina's best player is Leo Messi. Leo Messi so happens to be the greatest player right now.
And
so,
in jail. Yeah, continue.
Yeah. So I decided I'm going to go ahead and try to just weave through his defense with Messi. I weave all the way through. I get into the penalty area. I'm about ready to strike. Jesse tackles me, and they call a goal or a penalty kick. So I'm like, I'm kind of actually nervous because I haven't done a lot of penalty kicks, and I'm like, I haven't played FIFA in a while. I'm like, I don't remember how to do this.
Well, and if you're using Messi, we all know how that's going
to
end.
Oh, yeah. High and to the left. And so...
All right, you got 30 seconds to finish this story. You
gotta go. Control. He's trying to censor me. All right, so anyway, so I shoot it. He doesn't move his goalie at all. I don't think he knows how to do penalty defending. Score, and we end in a 2-2 tie. Because that was kind of late in the game. I think it was like 85 minutes into the match, and I scored. But very, very frustrating. And the season ended with him winning, obviously, since he got two victories, and I only got one. And then we had two ties.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Jesse. Regardless of how Derek tried to break it down, you won, buddy. So, well done. Sounds like Noah trained you well on the ways of defeating Derek.
I have a feeling, and the truth will come out. Maybe it'll be in heaven. I'll ask God. But I think he passed the controller over to Noah at some point because
it's possible.
Jesse sucks at video games. Yeah, I just said it.
Oh.
There's the truth.
There it is. Wow, that's rough. All right, well, sorry about your loss today, but we're going to move on past it.
It was a moral victory.
Yeah. All right, so my family's actually just now getting quiet, which is good. Sorry if you heard them in the background both last week and then this week. It's a little earlier in the evening for me than it is for Derek, with me living in the mountain time zone now. But yeah, they were upstairs watching some of the track and field trials for the Olympics, and they're having fun watching all the hurdlers and everybody else. So anyway, it's a pretty exciting time. We have like four channels, and at least one of them showing trials, which is exciting. But I want to ask you about some games that you've bought this summer. There's a few other topics we're going to get into this week. We're going to talk about some recent news. Not a lot. There's just a few news stories that are noteworthy. And then we're going to talk about classic games here in a little bit. But before we get to that, I want to ask you, what games have you bought this summer? And maybe what games have you pre-ordered as well? Just want to get an idea of what's gone into that digital shopping cart, or maybe real shopping cart in some cases, for you this summer when it comes to games.
I did buy, and we talked about this last week, I did buy Technomancer last week, and a couple weeks ago, actually 2 weeks from today, I bought Tokyo Sessions, or Tokyo Mirage Sessions. Still playing Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I won't say that I'm not playing Technomancer, but it's not a priority because, and Tim and I talked about this off-air, I really want to finish Tokyo before I Am Setsuna comes out.
Yep.
So I need to like focus on that. So I've been playing.
You buy those both full price then?
Technomancer, I ended up wheeling and dealing, got it for $30, which is nice. I won't say that's a good price for it. I think it's a game that's, if you're at all interested in it, get it because it's good. But I think you should wait until it's under $20 at least. Gotcha. Tokyo Mirage is definitely worth $60. It's an amazing game. I love it. It's one of my favorite JRPGs, but so far it's been really good.
Well, and from the outside looking in, it's one of the few JRPGs that seems to be holding your attention for a long time.
Yeah, and I think part of it is I'm trying to be committed to it and not just go, well, I got my $60 worth and walk away. Like, I'm trying to say, you know what, this game is beatable. Well, I haven't hit a wall yet. So let's just stick to it.
So the games that you bought are Techno Dancer and Tokyo Massage Sessions. Did I get it right?
Correct.
Okay. And then so what have you pre-ordered this summer? I know there's been some games, especially with E3 rolling through, a bunch of pre-orders went up after that week or even after those shows. So what have you pre-ordered this summer?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I haven't been buying a lot of games, like even deals. So there's been some good deals, and I've passed them up.
Yeah, both Sony and Microsoft have some good summer deals going on.
Oh, you know what? I should just say it since I did it today. I did buy Left 4 Dead 2 today. I owned it hard copy, but it's packed away in a box, and I'll never find it. So I went ahead and bought it digital because it's now backwards compatible. So I'm pretty excited about playing that again. I haven't played it in a while.
By the way, to interject right there, I tried to buy it too because we were planning on doing a little Left 4 Dead 2 action multiplayer, but it said bundle only, and then when I clicked on that, it wouldn't let me buy it. So
you got to go online. You got to go online. Yeah, you got to go online and buy it from the Microsoft store, but you got to do it under the 360. You can't buy it under the Xbox One. It will keep saying bundle only, because it wants you to go to the 360 store.
All right, well, I'll do that when we're done here. Okay,
cool. Okay, so anyways, pre-orders. I pre-ordered the new expansion for Destiny. I got Forza Horizon 3 paid off, Titanfall 2, Dishonored 2, Watch Dogs 2, and South Park. I put TFBW, so...
TFBW.
I'm avoiding saying it.
You didn't want to type it out. You felt too weird typing out
the fractured butthole.
Right. Got it. All right, well, I've purchased a few games this summer, too. Most of them have been on sale, though. So for various sales, I've purchased This War of Mine, The Little Ones, Jamestown Plus, A Boy and His Blob, and just bought Oxenfree, actually a few minutes before we started recording. I just purchased that one. So I got those all with different sales from Sony and from Microsoft. I have not yet played This War of Mine. I'm planning on playing it when it's kind of in between some big stuff, but I'm looking forward to it, and it was a good deal. Jamestown Plus was down to like $2 or $2.50. It was pretty cheap, and that's a really fun old-school arcade top-down shooter, and it's kind of an alternate universe where...
So it's not fun.
It is fun. Shut up. It's fun. Yes, it is. For $2, it's a nice arcade game to play. I think it'd be fun with friends if I had any friends. And also, A Boy and His Blob. My kids are loving it. We talked about it last week a little bit, but I've let several of my kids try it now, and I have it on the Vita too, and they love it. So that was a big win, even though I kind of lost interest fairly quickly. They think it's fantastic.
Well, I want to... This is an update from last week's story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I held true and did not reinstall that dang game, even though... Mr. Eli was like, "Dad, where's the boy and his blob?" Again. I said,
yeah.
"Forget about it, son. It's gone." It was Tim. I lied to him. I said, "It's Tim's game. I don't have access to it."
Oh, my goodness. Jeez. I like to think that when anything goes wrong, you just throw me under the bus to your family. I'm like, well, Tim. Well, geez. Tim, it was Tim.
Tim revoked our rights to play that game, Eli, so you might want to.
Your wife's looking at the budget like, what happened? You're like, well, Tim's been buying stuff with my
Tim's
card.
Been
I'm
buying,
sorry.
Buying games. He has access to my
card. The other game that I bought, I did buy at full price on the day or day after it released, and that was Inside, which I did finish, and it's a fantastic game. If you liked Limbo, I can't recommend it for everybody. It has a very weird, dark, nightmarish vibe to it, but it's very good from my, in my opinion. But I don't think it's a game for Derek, for example.
It's not. So I was actually, after seeing the reviews from several places praising it, I was considering it because it did look like it had...
I wouldn't bother until it's cheap or free for you.
Yeah, I thought it had a cool-looking tone. But I even thought that about Limbo. I was like, Limbo looks interesting. And yeah. I've gotten Limbo like free like 5 times, so I know I own it.
Right.
But I have not even tried it. But what I think I'll do is if I ever do decide to try one of Playdead's games, I'll try Limbo. And if I don't like it, then I'm not going to ever bother
If
with
you
Inside.
Absolutely hate the ambiance, the way the platforming, I guess not really platforming, the puzzle things, the setups feel, if you absolutely hate it and can't, you just can't play it. It's just not fun.
Let me ask you this. I know Limbo's love because it has like simple, but... still, you know, thought-provoking puzzles. It has a great atmosphere and aesthetic. Mm-hmm. But does it have, like, a story at all? I know Inside has, like, a twist, and I already know it because I cheated and went to the end. But is there anything to Limbo that you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. That was a nice little twist.
I would say
twist.
In terms of, I guess, story and wondering what's going on, maybe that's not the right way to put it. Wondering what's going on, Inside takes the cake. Because I was very confused about what was happening, but I didn't really care. It was just interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think I understand what happened, but I'm not sure. With Limbo, I feel like, at least my interpretation of what happens at the end, had a very clear wrap-up of, oh, this is what this game was all about at the end.
And was it a satisfying wrap-up or kind of just like,
satisfying and sad, yeah.
Okay.
So it depends on what you mean by satisfying, but I thought it was appropriate based on the game I just played. Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, those are the ones that I've purchased that I have access to play now. The pre-orders I've made are I Am Setsuna, and just like you are trying to finish Tokyo Massage Sessions, I'm trying to finish The Witcher 3 Blood and Wine, and I keep cruising through that game, but then getting distracted with everything from finishing my Gwent deck to just running side missions and Witcher quests. I got to stop doing that and just finish that thing. I keep getting distracted with side stuff on Witcher 3, but I'm going to finish that game and then play some I Am Setsuna. The more it's compared to Chrono Trigger, the more I'm hyped for it, and I'm afraid it's going to disappoint me. But
I almost bought Chrono Trigger for the DS.
Oh man, that's the best way to play it.
Because I could have gotten it. I could have gotten it for $18.
Did you ever play it?
I bought it on the Wii and played like 5 minutes of it.
Oh, okay, all right. I also pre-ordered Horizon, Mafia 3, No Man's Sky, and The Last Guardian. So over the course of the next 6 months or so, I've got some pretty major games to look forward to almost every month. Not quite, but almost every month. So those are what I've got pre-ordered. It's going to be an exciting fall, and I think between the two of us, we have most of the major ones except for like Call of Duty pre-ordered. So that's great. That's cool.
And Battlefield. But there's some others that I'm still planning on getting. Like, I'm not planning on getting Call of Duty or Battlefield, but I know I have... Oh, I have, like, Gears of War 4 planned to buy and all that stuff. That's so right. There's other games.
I was gonna ask you about that one. Okay.
Yeah, I've still got several that I'm working on right now.
I know I've mentioned before games like ReCore and then Sea of Thieves, which will probably be early next year, I think. But I haven't pre-ordered either of those. I don't think you can pre-order Sea of Thieves yet.
No, you can pre-order ReCore.
But I haven't yet. I'm just going to kind of wait and hold out and hope that as long as the scores aren't horrific, as long as they don't come out as like a 3 or a 4, then I think I'll still get it. But anyway, we'll get there.
I want ReCore. I want ReCore to be good.
I do too. All right, so I already talked a little bit about what I'm playing this week. I played some Jamestown Plus, working through The Witcher. With my older two sons, we've been playing a lot of the board game Ticket to Ride, and both the actual board game and the Xbox Arcade, the 360 version, which is backwards compatible for the Xbox One. We've been playing that too. It's just easier on the Xbox because you don't have to set up the board game and hand out the cards and all that stuff. But yeah, we've been playing that. They really like it. So what about you? What have you been playing this week?
I actually really started getting into The Division and getting back into Destiny. Nice. So I haven't actually been playing Tokyo Massage Sessions that much. I guess my back's been feeling okay. So I decided to play The Division, and I kind of got hooked. I mean, I've probably put 6 or 7 hours into it this week, and I've got my character up to a level 23. I guess the cap is 30. I don't know much about the game, to be honest with you.
Well, I know that makes a certain brother of yours happy, because he's still rolling through that game.
Yeah, so I think I'll be playing that off and on, kind of as my... kind of like what Rocket League was, like my relaxer, where I can just go in and do a mission and then be done with it.
Yeah, Rocket League is still that for me. So speaking of which,
I still play Rocket League.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's talk about a few headlines. There's been some things that have been announced recently that are of note, especially given our conversations. And the first one is that The Witcher 3 Game of the Year Edition has been confirmed by CD Projekt Red. Now, I don't think they've confirmed the release date yet, unless they updated this article, but the rumor is that August 26th could be the release date for that, and that would include, of course, the full game, The Witcher 3 The Wild Hunt, and all the DLC and updates the game has received so far would be included with that. That would include Hearts of Stone, Blood and Wine, and for those of you that aren't familiar, there have been tons of small little DLC additions that have rolled out over the last year. Everything from outfits to just upgrades in the way you can play and options with movement, all sorts of things. New Game Plus, all that stuff will be included, of course, with this pack, with this Game of the Year edition. So if you haven't played it yet and you've been waiting, holding out till they kind of sharpen things up and have everything, now's the time. This game will consume you with the length of game that you have in front of you if you haven't played it at all. It is massive.
Now, I take it the Game of the Year is going to be $60.
I do not know. They didn't confirm the pricing or release date.
Well, the reason
I'd imagine that, yeah.
Yeah, because you could actually get the game and all the DLC several times. It's been on sale for like $48.
Okay.
For everything, so.
Well, there you go. But then again, for some people, they like to have everything in a nice, clean and neat package. So if you that sounded weird. So if you wanted to just go to the store, I'm sure there's going to be actual retail versions you could go and buy if you wanted the all on disc, if that's the way you want to play, or just download
it
in
on
one
the,
big download. You can do it that
Xbox
way.
One.
So yeah, go check it out. And if you haven't played it yet, please go play that game. All right, here's another interesting story that jumped out at me this week, and that is it's an exciting one actually. Red Dead Redemption is backwards compatible as of today. So as of midnight last night, and this is Friday, by the way, we're recording on Friday, July 8th. So by the time you're hearing this, it's been a few days. Hopefully you've heard this and maybe even already have fired up your copy if you haven't had one yet. Red Dead Redemption was one of the greatest games of the last generation. I can't argue that it was the greatest because there's so many good ones, but I would argue very, very adamantly that it's one of the best games of the last generation of hardware and probably one of Rockstar's best as well. The sales of this game on Amazon, from reports that I've seen, have gone up as much as 30,000% now that as soon as the backwards compatibility was announced, they started selling copies like crazy. And that was just on Amazon. That didn't count the digital downloads off of Sony and Microsoft and Steam. So is it on PC? I think it's on PC.
No, no, it's not. Otherwise, it's I owned it on PC a long time ago.
I thought it was on PC. Anyway, so, okay, then on Microsoft and Sony stores.
Well, and I think that's part of the excitement. Granted, I know there's still a lot of people that are console only, but I wouldn't have been so excited. If they would have announced it as a backwards compatibility game, but it would have already been on PC, I would have already owned it on PC. I wouldn't even have cared. Yeah. But I was super excited because I'd actually bought it on the PS3 when it was on sale. I think it was $5.
Yeah.
And this was like a month or so ago. And then the next week, Xbox had it on sale for $7.50. And I was like, all right, I know this is going to be so stupid. I'm buying the game twice in 1 week. But I'm going to buy it because I know it's coming to backwards compatibility because it leaked like 3 or 4 months ago. So I went ahead and bought it, and now it's officially released. And the cool thing about this is Microsoft went, okay, we're not only releasing it now, but we're going to drop the price to $7.50 again.
Yeah, it's on sale.
So that's
their,
what's causing it to blow up. And all I got to say is people that mocked Microsoft on, especially people that don't own an Xbox One, saying, what's the point of backwards compatibility? Nobody cares. People care. This is a huge BC game, and they do care. I'm excited because I never finished it. So I'm trying to figure out how to import my save from my 360 to my 1 because I booted it up, and it wasn't there. So as soon as I can figure that out, I think I can finish it because I think I'm already in Mexico. So I'd like to finish the game.
Nice. Yeah, I liked that game. The story was interesting. I like a dark Western. I like a good Western story, and it definitely has that. But I also liked the areas you could explore, especially going up to the mountains and, you know, hunting bears and stuff like that. And then, of course, for those of you who played the DLC, the Undead Nightmare DLC was fantastic. It really took a very serious Western and kind of gave it a fun tongue-in-cheek zombie take on a Western.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
That's only $10. So if you think about it, you can get the game and all of the DLC, because the rest of the DLC is free right now. But if you buy the Undead, that's only $10. $17.50 for everything that game has to offer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, my kids are fighting upstairs. Sorry for that screaming in the background. All right. So cool. Red Dead Redemption is going to be great. I actually have it installing right now. I popped the disc in, and it needs to do a 7 gig install, which is pretty big. But that's installing as we speak.
That means you have DLC. I'm pretty sure
I do have
means.
DLC. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So not only is Red Dead Redemption going live, it's already live now, but also the much anticipated Nintendo app Pokemon Go is now live. I have not had a chance to download it yet, but I'm curious about it, and I've already heard some hilarious stories. Derek, I know you're not on Facebook right now, but there are some absolutely hysterical posts and images that people are posting, not just in our group, but just from everywhere. If you just go online and just search for some of these Pokemon Go pictures, they're hilarious, the places people are finding these. Some of them are photoshopped to be funny, and that's okay. It's a funny little phenomenon that's starting to pick up. Even people in my office today who don't play video games were asking me, what's this Pokemon Go thing all about? So everyone's hearing about it, and it sounds interesting. I don't think it's going to be something that I play and play for a long time, kind of like the Miitomo thing. I'll try it out and give it a whirl, But for those of you who love Pokemon and you've been waiting for this, it should be live now. So go get it. All right, moving right along. By the way, Derek, are you going to play that?
Oh, yeah. It's actually already hashtag game of the year.
Yeah, I can tell when you're going to play something when you fall asleep while I'm talking about it. All right, so Attack on Titan is, and this is, I'm not talking about the game here. I know there's a game that's supposed to be coming out. I'm talking about the show. The only reason I bring it up is because I know a lot of members in our group like some quality anime shows, and I think Attack on Titan, although it's dark and really creepy, is one of the better anime shows out there, and I really enjoyed season one. Season two has, quote-unquote, officially been confirmed in early 2017, and I know people are going to scoff at that. They've been waiting for season two for, I think, 4 or 5 years now, but I think that's as official as they've ever been about when it's coming. So that's very exciting for those who like that show.
Did you watch the first season?
I did, and I liked it a lot.
I think I started one episode and didn't get past the like the first 5 minutes.
It gets real creepy by the end of it. By the end of that first episode, I mean, I was like, what? These giant, they're literally like giant people, but they kind of look like babies, but they're like gender ambiguous. It's really weird. They're very weird giant beings, and they come in and they start tearing up the city and eating people. So it gets real violent and dark real fast, and then they have to figure out what's going on, where did they come from, and how do we stop them. So anyway, really interesting show. I liked it. It's very Japanese, of course, so there's certain episodes that drag on a little bit weirdly, but I recommend it. Very violent, though, so watch out. All right, so the last headline I wanted to talk about, I found this to be a little bit hilarious, so I thought I'd share it. I think just we as gamers in general, especially those of us who grew up on Nintendo, we have kind of turned on Nintendo in a lot of ways. They're the easy company to make fun of, to mock. The company that we kind of scoff at when they make announcements, even though we love them and most of us would kill for a, you know, to play that new Zelda game right now, or for certain Mario games to come out. So most of us still love Nintendo, but they've scorned us, it seems, it feels, so many times. And so this story made me chuckle. It was hard not to laugh a little bit at this. So there's this article that came out from the Nintendo CEO, Tatsumi Kimishima, and basically he admitted that in an internal meeting, I think it was before the Wii U launched, so in an internal sales rep meeting, someone projected, this is a legit Nintendo internal projection, that they will sell close to 100 million Wii U systems. This is before the Wii U launched. The Wii was already on a sharp decline. That ship had sailed, and they were getting ready to launch their new Wii U, and they made a legitimate internal projection of almost 100 million Wii U units. And here's the reasoning. The Wii sold well, so the successor, the Wii U, will also sell well. That was the reason.
Good logic.
I laughed pretty hard when I read that, and thankfully, the new CEO of Nintendo, he's the one who said, oh no, this is actually going to fail. We haven't communicated clearly enough. And then he tried to backtrack and say, I didn't say it would fail, but he knew the way that they were rolling this new system out, it wasn't going to succeed. So it's partly funny, but also a little bit reassuring that the leadership at Nintendo now, I hope, has a much better grasp on what's going on in the industry. And I'm really, really hoping that they pull through with the NX, because I'd love to see something awesome from Nintendo. It'd be really, really great.
I mean, they literally only have to do one thing. Make it as powerful. Well, it has to be now more powerful than the PS4 and Xbox One. And third party will support it, and they'll be back on track. That's all they have to do.
It sounds real simple, but I feel like it's not that simple. But anyway.
You know what? And we don't have to have a long conversation, because I know we got to move on. But I do want to say this. When they announced the Wii U, of course, I do research, so I understand who they didn't sell to. They didn't sell very well to soccer moms. But when I did my research on it, I actually thought it would be a successful system. Not like the Wii, but I thought it would be successful. And the reason why is I thought what they were doing was taking what the Wii did really well and then fixing what the Wii didn't do very well, and that was, they were still trying to send a message to hardcore gamers that, hey, we've now got this pro controller, we've got better graphics, we're more powerful, and this at this time, the PS4 and Xbox One weren't out. We're stronger than the Xbox 360 and the PS3.
Right.
We are trying to make everybody happy, like the people that liked Wii,
yeah,
and now the people that like 360 and PS3. And so when they initially started showing that, I was like, oh, this will be successful. Plus, the tablet sounded like a great idea. But
yeah,
like I said,
taking advantage of a technology that everyone uses now. Yep.
Yeah, totally. And then as I started talking to people that weren't like me, people that don't really pay attention, they only buy games for their kids, they didn't know the difference between, they didn't know what a Wii U was.
Exactly.
They just thought it was part of the Wii.
Right.
And so that was the issue.
Well, and the problem is the way that Nintendo always names and markets their systems. It's surprising that it's taken this long for them to completely fail on one. Other than the Virtual Boy was the complete failure, I don't think we could say any of the other major systems from Nintendo were complete failures, unless I'm forgetting something. And the Wii U is as close to a failure as they've come since the Virtual Boy. And I think the reason for that is because of the way they branded it. This was an opportunity for them to come out with a brand new system name and give it a different look. Don't make a similar sized and colored machine that would sit on. I mean, these look different. It looked like a Wii at first glance. And the difference was it looked like, okay, you have a new controller for your Wii system. That's what I thought, too, when I initially saw it. And I'm really into gaming, and I follow the news, and it took me a minute to kind of understand what they were doing. I don't know anybody who knows it. Anybody who's not into gaming, who just kind of casually has a system here or there because they want to watch Netflix or play Wii Sports or whatever, they would not begin to be able to tell you the difference between the two systems because they look identical other than the tablet controller. So I thought that the way that they labeled it, Wii U, I mean, think about it. They've already had the Wii Motion Plus. So they already had other things that had Wii names on it but seemed like an add-on. This may as well have been an add-on. And so that was their biggest mistake. And I'm just surprised that they came out of the gate like that and just stumbled the way they did. But hopefully the lesson has been learned and the NX will not come out as being like the Wii 3 or something really stupid and just, you know, ruin Nintendo. Hopefully. So anyway, all right, we've talked about that before. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. I get a strong feeling that between now and the fall, we're going to find out something big from Nintendo. I really hope so. I hope that we get all sorts of NX news between now and the holiday season. So, but we'll see. We'll see if that actually happens. All right. So Derek, here's what I want to do. I've been talking in our group a little bit about some classic games. I've asked them things recently like, for example, what are some of the arcade games that you played as a kid? You know, for those of you old enough who went to go to the arcade, what are some arcade games that you played? So I've been thinking a lot about these old games and just, you know, reading people's responses to that, how much they love certain games. And then I started to wonder, are these completely biased opinions or are these games so solid at their core that they are still good games? So what I wanted to do was, and I think I linked it on here so you can check it out, just pull up a list that's of generally accepted, you know, best games ever. What I don't want to do is go through and decide what is the best game ever. Maybe at some point you and I will go through, we'll create our own top 10 or something. This is not about deciding which games are best. This is going through a list in whatever order of games that are considered classics. And I want to find out from you, and then I'll share my thoughts, if the game holds up or doesn't hold up. And why I want to do that is because I keep seeing, and I've been guilty of this too, people recommending games and they're just falling over themselves with their love for this game and they're selling everyone on it and people go and play it and they're kind of like, yeah, you know, I guess, maybe. But that's because we have memories and, you know, happy memories attached to some of these games that in reality don't hold up. And so I wanted to go through some of these games and find out your thoughts too. Do these games hold up or not? So this is going to be the Fathers of the Grind definitive list of classic games that either hold up or don't anymore. And we'll just go, I'm going to put a little time limit on it. I don't really have a set number of games we'll get through in case we get sidetracked. But we'll take about 15 or 20 minutes maybe here to close things out and go through some of these classics. So are you ready to give controversial and strong opinions?
Your intro does not hold up.
Ouch. Cuts right at my core, Derek. All right. So
DFC
here we go.
Gaming.
All right. Dirty, filthy, casual. All right. So I'm just going to jump right into this, okay? I'm just going to throw out some game titles to you. And
all
if
right.
you want, you can pick some of these too and ask me. But and you're going to tell me whether it holds up or doesn't hold up, or I guess if you've never played it. All right. Here we go.
Death Row.
Yes, Death Row.
Of course it holds up.
Have you actually played it? I know you in your mind you've imagined it, but have you played it recently?
I actually have it sitting on top of my Xbox 360, and I think the last time I played it was probably a couple years ago, so I plan on actually getting back on there. But I'll tell you right now, it holds up. Like it was already kind of awkward back then, so it's just one of those games you have to play for a little bit, but it's still fun. Like it's not... There's nothing that's overly annoying about it that you're like, oh, other games do this so much better because there's nothing like Death Row, so there's nothing that you can say, well, this other game does this better.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right. So other than Death Row, which is clearly at the top of most lists,
Game of
here we go. Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time for the Nintendo 64. Released in 1998. Now, do you think it's because of the 3DS remaster and re-release? Is that why we consider it to still hold up?
No, I mean, there's a lot of things we can break it down with. Like, does the story hold up? Does the gameplay hold up? You know, and
just
graphics,
in general,
I don't think graphics are that important. But I would say, in general, which is what I'm going to basically answer for all these. It holds up. Like, the gameplay is definitely solid. Mm-hmm. The story, I mean, Zelda games have never really been, that's not their strong point. You play those games for the puzzle, the adventure, the world, and Ocarina of Time definitely nails it.
I think it holds up, too. You're right. The visuals might be the one weak spot there, but the story is just fine. The combat,
yeah, if you don't include the 3DS remaster, yes, the visuals are disgusting. But
as you would expect for a Nintendo 64 game. But the combat, I think, really set a precedent for a lot of action-adventure RPG games with the lock-on capability using that Z button on the old N64 controller, the ability to jump forwards, backwards, or sideways, kind of strafing as you slice with your sword or shot with your bow and arrow. It was very cool. It was the type of combat you didn't see a lot at that point. So
I don't know if we talked about it here or if it was like on a Rocket League chat night, but I said when I went back and started playing Twilight Princess, I realized how much Dark Souls took from Zelda.
Yeah. Yep. I think Witcher 3 does too in some of its basic things with the lock on and the blocking.
Yeah, and getting your shield getting your shield up and then, you know, kind of timing your attacks. Yeah. Yeah, definitely influenced it.
All right, how about this one? Final Fantasy VII.
I think the combat definitely holds up. I think any turn-based RPG holds up. The graphics are disgusting and the story and dialogue, I can answer this based off the fact that I just played it like 6 months ago. The graphics and the dialogue, or not the graphics, I already said that was disgusting, but the dialogue and the story and dialogue are a negative to me. I think it's definitely not aged well in that area. But again, it was when that type of game came out. So when I play it, it's not that big of a deal. But if like a 12-year-old was like, I want to play an amazing JRPG, I know a lot of people would say Final Fantasy VII, and I would say, no.
No, I think you're right. The combat system, that Materia system is pretty awesome. I think that's still fun. I'm looking forward to playing that again when they do eventually make the remake, although I think it might no longer be that combat system. But anyway, you're right. The visuals of the actual character models don't hold up, but the pre-rendered backgrounds do.
I think the pre-rendered backgrounds are fine.
Yep, they look nice. But you're right about that, and the dialogue is very cheesy. The translation was not up to snuff at that point yet.
Barrett is the greatest ever.
Barrett. If you've played the Final Fantasy games that followed, 8 and then 9, you know that the translations and the overall writing competency in general just got better, like drastically better as they went. And even by 10, though, there were still moments that made you cringe. So they didn't really perfect it, but hopefully at this point they're getting better. All right, let me give you another one. What about Sonic the Hedgehog?
No. Oh, that's boring.
Did you like it back then, though? When you were a kid playing Sonic, was this a game that you thought of as being one of the games?
I had more fun playing Mario games, but I liked Sonic more because I thought he was a cooler character.
Yeah.
He was kind of
like the edgy skater character compared to Mario. Right.
But as I got older, I will say this, and this is being just honest, I realized how, like, terrible those games were. Like, they're okay, but they're not great games. They were cooler when I was younger, let's put it that way. Whereas now I could go back and play Super Mario Brothers 3, and I know that game holds up. It plays great. It's still super fun. Sonic really isn't. It's I went back when they re-released it on like the 360. It wasn't like a remaster. It was just like released on the 360, and I just didn't enjoy the games that much. I didn't enjoy them as much as I remember.
All right, well, this one's going to hit home for you. Oh, yeah, by the way, for me, for Sonic, no. I never liked it. Even when I was a kid, I always thought it was overrated. I had friends who were, like, Sega kids, and that was their system. Boy. And I totally was a Nintendo fanboy. I will totally admit that. But that being said, even trying to objectively look back at those games and, you know, played them on Virtual Console in years since then, I still wonder, like, what was it that people loved about these games? They're not that great, but
just the—I think how cool the character he was and the speed.
The speed was kind of cool, but there was such a lack of control and really being able to be good at the game. It just felt like.
It gets worse when they do the 3D. The 3D is way worse.
Okay, all right. Well, that was for the original Sonic. Yeah. I do know that when they introduced characters like Tails, I was a little more interested, but still, it wasn't quite for me. All right, this one's going to hit home for you. This game came out 13 years ago on the Xbox and the PC. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Of course it holds up.
In every way?
I think so. I mean, sure, some of the dialogue again. Well, no, not the dialogue. The voice acting's... Like, I actually recently booted it up on my iPhone, and the main characters are fine. It's like those little characters that they bring into the game that, you know, they're only there for a little bit, have, like, terrible voice acting and some cheesy lines. But everything else, like the combat, phenomenal. Graphics are even still good. Yeah. Everything's great about that game. That's a flawless game.
It is a great game. I don't think it holds up incredibly well now just because other games have taken pieces from it and made slightly better versions of them, other than the fact that it's Star Wars and the story was amazing.
Don't get offended that I just deleted you from my life.
I won't. Wow, you have a button for that? That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. I think it's great, but it's not, and we've talked about this before, like I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of BioWare games, and I should be. I feel guilty. I feel dirty and gross because I don't love their games like a lot of people do, but I do think Knights of the Old Republic is their best one, and it holds up in a lot of ways, just not in every way, in my opinion. I'm gonna move on before you jump through the computer and kill me. All right, let's go super classic. What about something like Pac-Man? Do you think a game like Pac-Man still holds up as a fun game to play today?
I do. I think it's still fun. It's just such a simple game. I'm starting to feel like I'm Colin. Like, I feel like everything that he says, I'm agreeing with him. Uh-oh. But in case people don't know Colin Moriarty. Yeah. But Pac-Man is such a simple game. I actually played it recently because I got it on my PC. It was like one of the Humble Bundle games that I got.
Was it the Championship Edition?
Yeah.
I love that version, yeah.
And so I just think it's one of those cool games, just like Tetris, that's so simple. There's nothing about it that's difficult. Yep. I mean, playing it can be difficult, but I mean the design part of it. But it holds up. It's so easy to play. Yeah. You don't have to worry about a story. You don't have to worry about voice acting.
Yep.
You just jump in. It's kind of like a Rocket League type game. You just jump in, you play it for a little bit, and then you're done. You move on.
Yeah, today we would call something like that a casual game, but the fact that it came out and is one of the, it's one of the foundational games to what the gaming industry is today. You can't call it a casual game. It got everything started. If, say, they were to have created Pac-Man in 2005 or 2010, we would call it a casual game. You know, it was probably on mobile. And
100%.
But because it was one of the originals, and it just set the bar so high for a core gameplay mechanic. And to me, that's kind of what I'm driving at with these questions. Does it hold up? You really have to think, what's the core gameplay mechanic, and does it still work? And maybe you have to set aside the visuals. Maybe you have to set aside, you know, like you said, voice acting or things like that. But the core gameplay mechanic, and that to me is what makes some of these games truly classic and hold up. And I think Pac-Man is one of the best examples of a game that holds up. I'm with you. I played the Championship Edition. I think we have it on the 360. And all my kids have played it too. And they love it. They don't care that it's like this flat 2D, you know, like old school looking game. They don't care at all. And that's what I love about it.
You can put Tetris with that as well. Like, you don't even have to discuss. Yep. You don't even have to discuss Tetris. I would put Tetris right there with Pac-Man.
Totally agree. All right, cool. Let's talk about Mario for a second. Instead of me asking you about individual Mario games.
Mario Sunshine.
I know you love Mario Sunshine. Are there any Mario games, let's think mainline first, but maybe some of the spinoffs. Are there any Mario games that you would say, you know what, this doesn't really hold up anymore? Like, back then it was great, and maybe it's still considered a classic just because it's been around for so long and a lot of people love it. But as an actual, you know, best game ever, it just wouldn't hold up. Are there any Mario games that you would put in that category of maybe this doesn't hold up like we used to think?
I mean, based off what you just said, like, does the mechanic, the core mechanic work? I think Mario games, the core mechanic definitely still works. And many, many, many games still take from what Mario and all them did. And they've maybe tweaked them. And I wouldn't say made them better, but added more variety to it. But yeah. I think every single 2D, even 3D Mario game at its core works and still would work today.
Yeah, I think it's thanks to the Mario series that we have masterpieces today, like Ori and the Blind Forest.
Well, that was the game that was popping in my head. Ori is one of those few games, and again, everybody knows I'm not a big fan of these type of games, but one of those few games where I was like, they mastered being difficult while still being fun.
Yep, and I think you can tell the roots of that game are found in Mario. It really is. At least that 2D, that precision with 2D side-scrolling platforming action is something that not many games can get right. You know, many games feel too floaty, or they're too punishing, or they're way too easy. And Mario nailed it, and of course, more recently, Ori absolutely killed it.
And then they throw in the little Metroid-type twist where you're fighting enemies and stuff.
Right, like that. Yeah. So Ori took it to the next level and combined a lot of different inspiration, clearly, for their game. But just the basic mechanic of the precision and the jumping, I feel like they had Mario to thank for that, at least from a long time ago.
So basically, I'm ready for Ori 2.
Oh, man, that'd be amazing. Or at least the next game from that developer.
Yeah.
So I actually think that every Mario game except for one still holds up today. I think if you play through most of the mainline Mario games today in their current form without any kind of upgrades, they still are fun. If you pulled out an old NES system and played Mario, the original Super Mario Bros., or if you pulled out most people's favorites, and that's Super Mario Bros. 3, those hold up amazingly. Super Mario World, I would skip Yoshi's Island, but you know, Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, Galaxy, new Super Mario Bros., these all hold up beautifully, and I think they always will. But I think that Mario Bros. 2 for the Nintendo does not hold up. I don't know if you've played it recently, but I tried going through a bunch of the old Mario games with my kids on the Virtual Console, and I own this on two systems, and it's just not that fun. And the setup of the levels is not very intuitive. It doesn't really drive you forward. It doesn't really make you... To me, it's not really a Mario game. It just happens to have Mario characters in it. And for those of you who don't remember, this was... I don't think it was originally designed to be a Mario game, and I'm blanking out on the game that it got its inspiration from. So I'm sorry for those of you who are video game history buffs. You're probably yelling right now. But I do know that it wasn't necessarily meant to be a Mario game, and the idea of picking up these plants by the tops of them and pulling them out, whether it was going to be hearts or you throw them at enemies, jumping on enemies' heads, but instead of killing them, now you actually pick them up and you have to throw them. I just didn't think that gameplay mechanic was that great then, and I really don't think it holds up now. So that's my only thought on the Mario series. I don't think Mario 2 should be on a list of classic games.
I never liked Mario 2.
Yeah.
I thought it was boring and stuff.
I think back then it was kind of a...
I would agree.
I think a lot of people liked it then. It was a little different. But looking back on it now, I really don't think it holds up. So.
See, I always felt like, even back when I was younger, none of my friends wanted to play that one. We'd always go from Super Mario to Super Mario 3.
To 3, yeah. Because 3 did what 3 did what the first one did, and took it to the next level with an overworld and maps and lots of extra power-ups. It was great. But anyway. All right. And I don't know if there's any that jump out at you that you want to throw in there that you would that people would consider to be classics. But I've got a few more that I was
going
to throw
in. Go ahead. Keep going.
What about Tecmo Bowl? Released in 1987. Originally on arcade, but eventually came out on Nintendo. And then they had sequels that followed on the Super Nintendo. Tecmo Bowl. Doesn't hold up?
No.
All right.
It's terrible.
I think Tecmo Bowl does still hold up with its basic gameplay mechanic of the horizontal field and the way that you pick your play. And then, of course, it's almost like a rock, paper, scissors type of a game with the defense. If they pick your exact play, they're going to blitz you and tackle you. And then, of course, there's lots of different strategies you can throw in there. But I loved those games, and I've actually
It's more of an RTS than a sports game.
No, I wouldn't call it that. But it definitely is much more of an action game than a sports game, because it really is about just dodging, zigzagging up and down the field as you go from left to right, or I guess in some cases right to left. That's really all it's about. And I think the basic gameplay mechanic holds up, but if any of you are interested in going to play some old school football games, if you want to try this out, if you're listening and you want to give it a shot, I wouldn't play the original Tecmo Bowl. I would actually go with the Super Nintendo version. I believe it's called Tecmo Super Bowl 3. And that's one where you can actually do seasons. You can create characters. You can upgrade their stats as you go along. So you can actually, there's a little bit of the RPG element to it that really picked up in Madden later on. But it's a lot of fun. I would highly recommend that. You got players like Deion Sanders and Barry Sanders and Joe Montana and all sorts of guys playing. It was a lot of fun. So let me think of one or two more here.
Resident Evil.
All right. Yeah, let's go back to the original Resident Evil. Does that one hold up today?
No. No.
I did not see that coming. Twist.
That's why I picked it, because no, it doesn't. I mean, to be fair, while I'm a huge fan, I didn't like playing the original Resident Evil games because part of what made it so scary was how hard it was to play because the controls were so terrible. You ask anybody who's honest, they'll tell you they had some of the worst controls. That was why I was able to go back on the PS4 and play Resident Evil 0 and Resident Evil and actually really, really enjoy it, is because some of the updates they did, and it was still a little shaky, but the most of the major like changes they made to the gameplay were awesome compared to how terrible it was before. And the cool thing is they let you play either way. You could choose to go back if you liked the old school mechanics.
Right.
Which there are, of course, are people that like it, but it does not hold up. You will never, ever see a game designed and play the way Resident Evil played.
Even though you're saying it doesn't hold up, is it fair to say, though, that still is one of your favorite classic games, even though you're admitting objectively it doesn't hold up that great?
Absolutely. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
And I think that's the beauty of a conversation like this, is I'm trying to think objectively about it. Like, Mario 2 is a game that I did like at times, but I just don't think it holds up. Even Knights of the Old Republic, as I was sounding really critical of it, I love that game because I'm a huge Star Wars nerd and I loved the world they created that was outside of the movie cinematic universe. So it's okay to objectively look at a game and say, you know what, it doesn't hold up and this or this area, but for me personally, maybe it still holds a special place. And I'll leave you guys with one more of mine, since Derek just shared out Resident Evil. One more of mine that does not hold up today, and this might be sacrilege to some, is GoldenEye for the N64. Released in 1997, really the original, one of the original console first-person shooters. And it really brought that multiplayer first-person shooter to the mainstream audience. And it was so fun. I mean, I remember playing that game for hours all the way up through college. So that game, for me at least, got playtime for probably 5 or 6 years, which is amazing. That's an amazing run. I have gone back, and sometime in the last 4 or 5 years, I went back to try to play it on an actual old N64 system with the old N64 controllers. And it is horrible. Not just visually. I can accept the visuals are out of date. That's fine. But the way it controls is so stiff. I mean, the things that Halo did for the first-person shooter genre cannot be understated, because it took it to the next level. The things that Call of Duty came along and did for the multiplayer, the things that these other first-person shooter franchises came in and did, and you go back and try to play GoldenEye, it's nearly unplayable. So that's one that to me holds a special place because I loved it, spent a ton of time, ton of hours with my friends playing multiplayer. It doesn't hold up. Really, honestly, in just about any way, it doesn't hold up anymore. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I never played it a lot. I remember my friend who owned the N64, because I think we talked about this when we went over that generation. Right. I owned the PlayStation, and my good buddy owned the N64. He tried so hard to get us to play GoldenEye, and none of us had any interest. We would do, like, the four-player co-op, kind of like how we would, or not co-op. But versus mode, kind of like we would do, you know, Star Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And we all love Star Fox, but none of us loved GoldenEye. And it might have been just because he was really good and we all didn't know what we were doing, so we just kept dying.
Yep.
But I just didn't like that game ever.
Yeah, it would definitely make a list, if I were to make a list of games that were my favorites, and my personal favorites, maybe games that were impactful to me as a big-time gamer now looking back. It would make those types of lists. But in terms of games that are currently my favorite that I would say, yeah, I'll jump back and play that, it definitely would not make that list.
There was a GoldenEye game on the PS2 that I really loved. I love, like, the single
Yeah, they
player.
Tried to bring it back a few times. I think they even tried to bring back GoldenEye last generation.
Pretty good, and that's why I bought it. This was when I started buying games that I wasn't used to buying because I was buying more.
Yeah.
And it reviewed really good, and I bought it, and I remember playing it, and it was like my first real experience with a 007 type game, and it was really good. I gotta look that up.
You just reminded me of one more game that I know that people love, and I just, you know what? I just kind of want to ruffle some feathers before we close out our show here.
There's Tim, a game. Even when you ruffle feathers, you do it in too nice of a way that you never actually ruffle a feather.
You're right. There is one game that's considered to be one of the best of all time by many people in the industry, as well as just fans and gamers, and that is Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I actually completely I skipped that game when it came around, because when I did finally get a PS1, we've talked about this before, I actually I got it kind of later on in its life cycle, and that's the game, for whatever reason, it just never crossed my radar. It's never one that I went at, you know, I sought out. I didn't play Castlevania Symphony of the Night until last year, 2015. 18 years after it released. And I've been told so many times that just like classic Mega Man, classic Mario, that it holds up. And Metroid, I've been told that it holds up. So I went to play it. I don't think it holds up at all. I think it controls really poorly. And there's so many indie games and side-scrolling action games that have come along since then that have vastly improved the controls, the story, the acting, the power-ups. They've improved those in so many ways. Symphony of the Night wouldn't even make my top 25 list of side-scrolling action Metroid-type games. I mean, it's just, I don't think it's good. So I'm confused by that one. I think that one is a lot of nostalgia for people. But I'd be curious to hear if there's anybody else out there who totally skipped Symphony of the Night and then tried it later because of the hype built around it being one of the best ever. Did you have a similar experience to me? Because I feel like I'm all alone and really disliking this game. I tried. I just really dislike it. It's not fun.
I never played that game.
Yeah. Well, don't do it. All right. So there's lots more we could go through, but I do like revisiting some old classic games. It kind of hits me right in the nostalgia bone. I like talking about the old games. But as we move forward this summer, there's going to be more and more new games to talk about. But until then, if you're in our group and you're listening to this now, head back over to the Facebook group. I want to hear what classic games for you still hold up, or maybe totally don't hold up. So give us one example of each of a game that you could still play today. For example, Pac-Man, and a game that you look back on and you're like, you know what, I can't do it anymore. Like GoldenEye for me. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on all that. So, Derek, I want to wrap up with just a reminder of some of the advice we gave earlier in the show, and that is don't be racist, don't kill people, be nice to everyone, but not until you've been a jerk at first, and then ease into the niceness. Yeah.
And let me add, like, be nice to everyone except John. You don't have to be nice to John, but everybody else in the world be nice to. But Black Mage, you can be an ass to. 24/7.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
He doesn't listen to our show. He pretends like he does. He doesn't. So this is
we will find out. Nobody tell John that we called him out at the end of the show. If you're one of the two or three that listen all the way to the end, no one tell him that we called him out. And I want to. This is a test, just like we tested Pelfrey a few weeks back. This is a test to see if John listens.
Ooh, what did we test Pelfrey on? Because
I forget. You mentioned him for something. I forget what it was. Maybe Resident Evil related. I'm not sure. And I said, this is a test to see if he listens.
I probably called him trash.
Yeah. But I think, if I remember correctly, he actually did comment on it. So he did listen.
Oh, okay.
All right, guys. Thanks again for listening. Have a great week. And I hope your summer's going great. We'll talk to you soon.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
I feel like when you say night like that, it's like you're either talking to a little kid or maybe some girl that you like. Night.
That's how I talk to all the women.
It's all soft and whispery.
Good night. Bye-bye.
All right, stop.